Well, I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm thankful that you are here. We've got a lot of folks that are out sick. They've called or texted and let us know, and we are praying for them. But we're certainly glad that you're here, and many of them said they'd be joining us via live stream. We're certainly glad for this vehicle that we have to get the word out, and we're trusting the Lord to use it in a special way. Right up here on the platform, sometimes I have to text somebody something that's going on, and I need to get something done. Brother Jack or something will text back and forth, and I got a potential spam while Brother Dan was singing, so I'm not sure if it's still on, but I just answered it, and I told him I thought I'd let them listen in too. So whoever was trying to sell me after death care or whatever they were trying to sign me up for Medicare, and I keep telling them I'm not there yet. I said, oh, sorry. And so now it's been prepaid funeral expenses. It used to be car warranty that they were trying to get me on, so it just changes a little bit, but I must be a popular guy, so I'm assuming some of you are as well. And so we'll let them listen in as long as they'll listen. So I want you to look in Colossians chapter 2. And we're looking at verse number 16, following through to the end of the chapter here. And I'll give you a chance just to get there. We'll look at 16, 17 down through the end of the chapter. And we're looking tonight at the freedom from self-serving religions. Now, as true as it is that there's always been a need, Dad told me when I surrendered to the ministry, Dad loved the Lord, started a church in our living room of our little single-wide trailer back in Wellsburg, West Virginia, and has always tried to encourage me on, but when I surrendered the ministry, he said, well, there'll always be a need for that. He said, sad to say, there's always a need for bartenders and preachers. One, because their worldly fleshes will want that, but the other, because their spiritual soul needs it in order to be born again. And so even though there's always been a need and a market, if you will, for truth and religion to be put out, because there's this vacuum in our lives that we're looking for God, as real as that is, there's also always been and probably always will be the false religions that'll come along, and because of man-made dogmas and rudiments of this world, as we'll learn about tonight, and these traditions and all, there's always going to be somebody who comes up with those to feel that need, that desire that we have to seek the Lord. So we'll look into some of those. The Bible says in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or by the new moon or by the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, introducing into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And we'll unpack some of those in just a moment here. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the wisdom of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And so again, if God will help us, we'll kind of unfold some of those things and see what we can look from these verses and learn that will help us in our walk with the Lord. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Give us these next moments to better us in our walk with Thee, I pray. And I ask You, dear Lord, to help us be free from improper worship, free from the doctrines of men. And Lord, help us to be free from these self-serving religions, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it starts off in verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day. And so we see that this part of the scriptures are going to equip us and allow us the freedom from people who say, shame on you. You're not doing right, and you're not doing right, and you're not doing right. Instead, elevating themselves and their own images instead of Christ. So the Bible quickly gets this out in the open in this passage, this command, it would be in the respect of the holy day, or respect of a new moon, or respect of the Sabbath day. So first of all, we're going to see in verse number 16 and verse number 17, he's talking about that shadow of things to come. We're going to see that we're pointed to Christ. We're pointing to Christ because he is the culmination of all of those shadows and all of those things that came before, those rites and those rituals and those ceremonies. Many of them you'll find as you look in the Old Testament, you'll see those things, and you look at those, and when you look at those, you can see, if you're looking with an objective eye, you can see how they're going to be fulfilled in Christ. Can you imagine now what they knew and didn't know? We're not sure, but as they were coming on and doing those sacrifices with those lambs, and they were seeing those lambs, that they had to get the unspotted ones, and they had to have the ones that were kept up, and the ones that were not the mangy ones, not the ones that were the last of it, but the beautiful ones, the ones that were there. All of those things pointing to Christ. But we see here that just today, there are people in the world that are either those old religions or coming up with new ones all the time that are telling us to value holy days or drinks or rituals or rites or things that they've come up with or that somebody else has handed off to them. But we see that there's a freedom of believers because the Word of God is what we follow after. You see billboards sometimes, and they'll ask on these billboards about the Saturday Sabbath. Maybe you've had that question as well, because in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was Saturday, and somebody might say, well, when did the Sabbath change? Well, I don't know that it did change. It's still Saturday as far as that goes. There's never been a change on that, but the change has been when Christ was the fulfillment of all of those prophecies in the Old Testament. We now celebrate not on the Sabbath. We come together on the resurrection day, the day after the first day of the week, after when the disciples came and found the tomb empty, and the church started celebrating every Sunday, a Resurrection Sunday celebration. We see that that is a freedom so that somebody can't say, well, now this day is this and this day is this. You say, Pastor, do you believe it's a good idea to have that day of rest? I certainly do. Even doctors and experts say that that's a good thing to do, to get into that ritual, to get into that rhythm of things. But you don't do it in order to be right, or you don't do it in order to be better than somebody else. We see that freedom of believers. But I see not only that in verse number 17, though, we see the picture that is given. We see the shadow of things to come. I'm told that our word for photograph, that most of the people anymore don't know what is. A younger teenager say, oh, that's a photograph, as far as they know what it is on their phone. But an old photograph, you remember those days when you had to have those. I know that some of you go back further than this, but I'm just only going back so far. You had to get those rolls of 35 millimeter film, and you had to drop it off at Rite Aid or Walgreens or mail it in, and you'd send it to York Photo Finishing, and then you'd get it back and say, those weren't worth even getting, because you realize one of the kids at Christmas time had the camera and you didn't get anything worth taking a picture of. Well, now we don't have those problems because everybody just has their phone, and I live in our house. We've got Amy and two girls, and I know the drill. Every time you take a picture, the girls want to say, well, let me see it, and they want to look at them. Everybody else can be looking away. Their eyes can be closed. It can make some look at their face that looks horrible, but then if they look good, they say, oh, that's a good picture. And so, but I'm told that photograph, that word comes from the same word that this word shadow comes from. And you know that how some of those old pictures would get under or overdeveloped. I'm no expert, I don't know. But they wouldn't really look like the clear picture, but you could tell enough. Used to be in the back of those little envelopes, you'd get the little negatives, and you could hold it up to the light, and you could see the image just not real well. Some of you go way back, and you remember when a missionary would come through, and he'd take his little slide projector, and he'd put it down here, and a little block of slides had the picture in there, and then that would fall down, and then it'd cast a vision out here, cast the picture up on here. Well, when you looked at that little thing up through a light, you could see part of it, but you couldn't see it full. Well, that's what the old folks would have seen. They knew some things were coming. Even Job, the oldest book in the Bible, said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and at the later days shall stand. And so we understand that picture, those things were a shadow of things to come. So when that shadow is become full blown, and the scripture is going to ask this in a little bit, why would we go back to the shadow of the inferior product when you've got the real thing, Jesus Christ, and you don't need to go back there? So we see it's pointing to Christ, but there'll always be somebody that's going to pull us back down, and oftentimes it's because they are proud or they're egotistical or they want to have some reasoned Lord over you, with a little L, Lord over you. And so we see the prescription here that's given to these people. Let no man beguile you. Beguile means just to charm them into in a deceptive way. Don't let anybody be the Pied Piper and just pull you over to their little special religion here or something. Let no man beguile you, the Bible says. And it says, let no man judge you in those meat or those drink, as it said there. But in verse 18, let him not beguile you or your reward in a voluntary humility. You say, wow. What does all these mean? As you break some of these things down, beguile you of your reward, trick you out of those values and commitments that you've made to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe God's done something very special in your life, in your heart, in your spiritual walk. And then somebody comes along on YouTube or some other platform, and they say some things that, wow, they've got some charisma. But if you have charisma and you don't have the Word of God backing you up in that charisma, then charisma can go out the window, where all other false things do, because we understand they have to be following the Lord Jesus Christ. So they brought in this voluntary humility, this self-imposed mock humility, if you will. They brought these things, that voluntary, they've done it on their own, this humility, this proud attitude that they have. But then it goes on to say they're worshiping of angels. They've invented these revelations. You know, oftentimes when you look at some cults or people who are trying to lead people down their road, I've always mentioned that truth doesn't mind a challenge. You can take this word and you can say, listen, we'll look at it. There was a day when most mainline denominations in our nation, they all believed the Word of God was the Word of God. Now, they may have had some differences about mode of baptism or this or that, but they all said it, whatever it says in there, it says. It means it too. Now you have to be careful as you're listening to folks when they'll say, we want to follow the Bible. But it's almost as if you have to vet it all the way to the nth degree, because what they mean when you get in some of those less than pleasant passages, they say, well, yeah, we don't mean that. We don't think that means that literally. But you understand, you have to take the Bible in its clear, written sense. Now, there's some visions in there. There's visions in the Old Testament, visions in the New Testament. And so that is clearly, logically understood. But there'll be people who say, oh, no, not that, something else. And so we have to be careful when people say, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. You have to understand what they mean when they say that. Had to believe it, that it means what it says, not just, oh, yeah, I don't believe that Jonah was truly going through all of the difficulties. That was an allegory. Well, not according to the Word of God. It just, if it were, he would have said something. And so we understand that, but the scripture, getting back to it, we see that these voluntary humility, the worshiping of angels, they've invented their own revelations. Why did they do that? Keep on reading. Because those things vainly puff up the fleshly mind. They understand that these things that they've come up with, they will make proud. And of course, we know what it is to be fleshly. That just means what we can whip up. So here we have somebody who just loves to hear themselves talk. You say, I think I know that guy. Well, if he's just talking about his ability on the golf course, or his ability in the garage, or his ability to grow something, then that's fine. But when you're talking about somebody religiously, and it's not good enough for them just to stick with thus saith the Lord, there are some people who that's not good enough for them. They have to have a new twist on it. My friend, be careful whenever you hear somebody say something like this. Listen, you probably never heard anything like this, but I want to give you some new insight. They've been preaching this book for a long, long time. Good, godly men who have given themselves to it. If you find out somebody in 2023 that finds a new twist on Scripture, can I just say it kindly? They didn't find a correct twist on Scripture. They really did twist Scripture. So we understand that they're puffed up with self, but that's not the worst thing. That is that's an effect, but the cause, if you will, is in verse number 19, and that is they have a disregard for Christ. All of those things are puffed up in their flesh, and they're vainly worshiping and all of that, but they have a disregard for Christ. You say, really? Yeah, look at verse 19. And holding not the head, capital H, holding not the head, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because it goes on to say, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And so where the prescription to the proud, what I meant when I put that down is the directives given to the proud are they're puffed up with their self and they have a disregard for Christ, and they certainly shouldn't do it, because we understand that it all comes from Him. What does Christ give? You'll see it there in verse number 19. He gives that nourishment. Having nourishment ministered, I believe that happens on a daily basis. When you get in the Word, it gives you nourishment. You say, Pastor, I didn't understand everything I read in the Bible this week. I didn't either. You get sometimes in some of that prophetic stuff, and I think, man, I don't figure those guys knew what they were talking about when they were writing it down, because I think that it was over their head. And that's not strange for me to understand, because it's over my head too. And some of those things you say, wow, I think I know maybe how that's going to turn out. Like one of the preachers, I heard him say, he's dead now, but he said, well, back in the 70s, I preached some sermons about prophecy. He said, but that stuff in the Middle East didn't turn out like I thought it was. He says, I'd sell you those sermons really cheap. But can I tell you this? You may have a difference when somebody says, I think that's what that means, or I think that's what that means. That's why it's so wise to do, as an old preacher said, be loud where the preacher's or the Bible's loud, be soft where it's soft, because there are some things that you may think you have a understanding of, but you don't have to wonder how to interpret John 3:16. You don't have to understand, or you don't have to wonder about how to interpret, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There may be some things, and we may talk afterwards. You say, I'm having a little trouble with this, and I'm wondering about this. Somebody called me the other day about something, and I said, yeah, I'm not sure. But I'm certainly glad that the Lord didn't leave any question on those foundational salvation issues that tell a person how to get from here to heaven. You say, why didn't He make it clear on all that stuff? Probably so we wouldn't quit reading it after the first time. You ever read a book? You say, well, that was a good book. What do you normally do with it? Now, there's some really good books, and sometimes you'll read through them again and again, because, well, that's some good information. But many books, you read through it, okay, I've done that, and I put it over there. That didn't need to happen with this book. So we understand that He gives nourishment daily, gives nourishment to this church, gives nourishment to your family. But then not only do that, look on in verse number 19, He knits together. He gives that unity, pulls them together. If you've got problems with a brother or sister in Christ, I would challenge you to bring you and them and God together, and you'll start seeing that those differences you had about some little thing that you were sideways, bent out of shape, or whatever, however phrase you want to use, you'll find that He will knit you together. And then He will give that increase, as we continue on there in verse number 19, increaseth with the increase of God. Isn't that what we want? So much so that that's one of the three-pronged approach that we want for our church. We want to teach folks to love God, show them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they can know Him, love Him, have Him. But then not only that, we want them to grow together in the knowledge of the truth. We want them to grow together. And then what else do we want them to do? It's out here on our wall. We want them to reach out to everyone else and take the gospel. It's a cyclical motion that we want. We want people to be so understanding of the gospel that they put their faith in Jesus Christ and grow in their faith upon their most holy faith. And then as they grow, then give that word out again and again and share it to the ends of the earth. So we see the prescription to the proud, or the directives to that proud. They're puffed up and they had that disregard for Christ. Once you look on in verse number 20 down to 23, and we're going to see the problems here. There's some others that it's not that they're necessarily having these improper worship, as we looked at in verse number 18 and 19, but it's these folks who are denying themselves. It's called asceticism, meaning that you put your desires and you say, I can't want that because that makes me happy. I can't want that. That's too good. It's about like somebody's on a diet. Say, how do you know what not to eat? How do you know what not to eat? Well, if it tastes good, it's not. You shouldn't eat it. How many of you understand? It's about, that's a pretty good way to figure it out. If you like it, you taste good, you want more of it, you shouldn't have had it. Shame on you. If it tastes bad, you don't want no more of it, that's the secret to dieting, I think. So we see that there is this group of people who their asceticism. It's that action of severe self-discipline and avoidance of all forms of indulgence, I should say. And that's not a bad thing. If there's some things that you're not supposed to be engaged in, there's a Bible talks about moderation, that you ought not to just go overboard in many of those things. But there's a problem, and we're going to see it here in these verses. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, or another way you can say that, since you're dead with Christ, since you're crucified with him, from the rudiments of the world, from the principles and the ABCs and the basics of the world, why, the West Virginia verse, why in the world are you doing this then? Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why would you go back into those rules if that's what you got out of? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. That's, I believe, as I study and try to look in here, that's just self-imposed worship, that will worship. We're in verse number 23 there. And humility and neglecting of the body. You say, aren't we supposed to neglect the body? Yes, you are, but you're not supposed to brag about it. Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. There were the problems of, and if you're taking notes on that, the self-deniers. There were a group of people, and specifically in this church as it was written to the first time, there were these folks that were denying everything that they liked. I jokingly said, that's how you choose what not to eat on your diet. If it tastes good, don't do it. But they were going to an unhealthy extreme. Oh, no, I can't do that. And there are people, many people, who they assume if anything is something that you like, it brings pleasure, or you enjoy, or your family gets some value out, I shouldn't do it. Well, the only thing about that is the Bible says God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He did give you your family to be this happy time together. Are you going to go through difficulties? Yes. He did give you blessings. Where do we come? The Bible says we know that all good and every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. We know that our God, from whom all blessings flow, as the old doxology says, we understand that the good things came from him. And so for me to just say, I'm going to refuse to enjoy any of that. There is this group, and they're everywhere, they're in here tonight, some of us, that they want to value their spiritual walk by how much they deny. And that's what these folks were doing. So they said they were neglecting of the body, verse number 23 there, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh, not in any way giving yourself the things that you want it to do. Let me give you an illustration about this. We know what the Bible says in the Gospels about fasting. And fasting, just the avoidance of an earthly blessing. You're going to quit eating for a meal or two meals or whatever. You're going to do that and instead give yourself to prayer. So that's what fasting is, the biblical concept most everybody in here would know. But what's it tell you to do when you're fasting? It doesn't tell you to drag into all your coworkers or my coworkers here or your church. Oh, goodness gracious, it's bad today. You know why? I haven't had anything to eat for 6 hours. I'm fasting. The Bible doesn't say to do that. The Bible says to clean your face up, get yourself so that nobody knows, because you're not fasting for them, you're fasting for him. And so you're not to be doing it to be seen of men. Well, the same way in every other area of your walk with Christ. And so the self-deniers, it can get to an unhealthy level where you say, no, I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to tell you that I'm not doing it. I'm going to tell you why I'm not doing it. I'm going to be proud of the fact that I'm not doing it, and I'm going to tell you you ought to be like I am. And so we see that in verse 20, 21, 22, the rudiments of this world, they don't have any hold on us, because we know that we're, if you then be, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, again, another way just to say, listen, you're saved. Act like it. So don't be thinking that somehow you're getting points, so to speak, with the Lord, because you're doing the ordinances at the end of verse number 20, that you're doing the rudiments there up at the beginning of verse number 20. Don't think that you're subject to those. And so we see that in verse number 23, those rules can make us boastful. They can make us think that we're better than other people. So mark it down. Whatever you do in your spiritual walk, if you're doing it to get closer to Christ, amen, praise the Lord. Keep on doing it. But if you're doing it to be seen of men, to be bragged about either openly or just hoping that they notice, shame on us. Because that's wrong from the get-go. You think the Lord doesn't know our motives? He doesn't get fooled. He doesn't see us taking some little need out here in the parking lot or at your house or down the road, wherever it is. He doesn't see us doing something, say, oh my goodness, look at that. No, he looks at the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I may think, oh, wow, you know, I don't look at see what people give in the offering plate. But if I did, and I said, wow, boy, oh, boy, you gave $1,000 to this project we're going to do. I say, man, you must be one of the best church members we have. And God could say, you ought to see what I see. Because you know that one is very clear. We look at the widow and we look at how much she gave. And God says, I'd rather have what she has than all those other guys was pouring in what they had out of their abundance. So again, the problem with doing things, and sometimes we start off good. We start off doing it for the right reason. But then we look around at these other yard birds and they're not doing it like we should. And I say, well, if I'm doing it, you ought to do it. Since I started, why haven't you started it? Well, we would do better to do like the scripture says when it gives the instructions for the Lord's Supper, let a man examine himself. Of course, that's an application, not the interpretation of that passage, but it's certainly good advice. And the Bible says in another passage that when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we are not wise. So this asceticism, this self-deniers, these ones that they just brought everything. And you say, well, that's a good thing, right? That's what the Apostle Paul says. I keep under my body and bring it in subjection. Yes, he did. And he did it. But he didn't lord that over everybody and says, you got to do it like I did. As a matter of fact, there's other passages where he said that I'd rather you abide it like I, as far as the area of marriage and not marriage. He says, but better to marry than burn than this. He was above that because God was using him. He didn't have that rule, or else he would have been guilty of doing what some of these folks were doing, and they were putting a preference up to the level of a commandment of God. So, much done in the name of religion elevates self. So, if you ever want to know, well, I wonder what kind of man of God or lady of God or person of that is. Well, if you watch him for a little while, and God just kind of settles it on you that they've got a, not a poor image of self, but not a boastful, unhealthy, high level of self either, then that kind of gives you a good glimpse of who and what they are. Back in verse number 21, touch not, taste not, handle not, all of these things. There's a lot of people who have tests for your holiness. Well, do you do that? I don't think much about your walk with the Lord. Well, do you get involved in that? I don't have much test for your holy. I don't have much confidence in your walk with the Lord. But can I remind you that all of us, we are on a different spiritual journey here. This isn't what the lesson is about tonight, but truly, somebody in this room may be engaged in something that somebody else isn't engaged in, and this may be controversial for you in some way, but it's sin for one person, it's not sin for the other person. You say, how could that be? Isn't sin sin? Well, yes, lying, cheating, stealing, all those are sin. But then after the Lord convicts you of something that you aren't supposed to do, but it's not in the scriptures written that says, thou shalt not. Well, after the Lord's already moved on your heart and said, you ought to leave that off. That's something you ought not be engaged in. And you just decide, I'm going to go back and do it anyways. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. But then that other person's not as far maybe in their walk with the Lord as you are, or at least not in that area. They haven't even thought of it yet. That's why sometimes we get so worried about folks that, well, oh my goodness, did you see they were smoking, or they were doing this, or they were doing that, or they were doing that. If they got born again, the Holy Spirit resides in them. And he's going to convict and lead and guide and help them in all of these matters. And I'm so thankful he does. Well, we've got the freedom from self-serving religion. I trust that the Lord would use this Bible study in our hearts. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, it's exciting to just see how free we are in Christ. I don't think that any of us would walk out of here and say, oh, great, we're free. We'll just go sin, go live wicked, go do whatever we want to do because we're free now. Lord, that's not what it makes me want to do. But Lord, it also doesn't make me want to go look down my long nose at somebody else that isn't on my same journey and somehow elevate myself and put them down. Father, bless us now to be right with you, I pray, and we'll certainly thank you for it. If you're able to tonight, would you stand together as they begin to play something through? And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come up and lead us in an invitation song. And if the Lord's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you need just come and do business with him. Pray about something. Maybe you're here tonight and this message didn't get your need because you need to be saved. Would you step out and come when he sings, and then maybe have some other spiritual need? Then let's take care of that business as well. Well, we had many folks out this past Saturday. I want to thank you if you're a part of that, but I encourage you, if you weren't able to make it this past Saturday, we'll have another outreach breakfast on the first Saturday of this coming up month, and we have a great time together. And so I challenge you, I'm not sure the date right now, but the first Saturday of the month of February, challenge you to be looking on that date. If you're able to come at 9:30, we have a great breakfast, and then go out. You can visit for a Sunday school class. You can visit a bus route. You can go out and just knock on doors in the area. You can go out and visit some shut-ins. You can visit some other folks that have been visiting the church. There's a myriad of places you can go, but I challenge you to check your calendar for that first Saturday of February. We have a great outreach, and we thank you for those that were able to come this past Saturday. And one last announcement. The couples retreat coming up March 1st and 2nd. It's going to be a wonderful time. There are some information sheets out in the lobby. If you're a married couple, we'd love to have you come over to Pigeon Forge with us, and it'll be a great time and it'll be an encouragement to your marriage, and I know that you'll be benefited by it. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.